There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 49. We are 1 week on the day away from Major League Baseball. Meaningful games for all you meaningless fans out there. Meaningful baseball coming up in a week, which is going to be great. So at least we can blame injuries on real baseball, which will be fun, and so much more. So tonight, we're going to talk about our first Fab run that takes place this weekend. We have maybe early schedule standouts we've kind of talked about in recent weeks as well, and much, much more to get you ready for the start of the season. Last big draft push ahead, folks. Before we get to that, a little housekeeping for you. I am on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host is always on Twitter at Ryan BHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Yeah, like 1 week it feels like forever from now because we still have big time drafts. I know a lot of listeners still have big time drafts. So we have a Fab period still to go. Like there's a lot of stuff to happen before we start, but it is kind of crazy that next week on this stream we will have we'll be watching baseball games, which is pretty freaking sweet.
We'll be talking about the action from the day. We'll be bringing back our weekly games. So we can talk trash and maybe Ryan buys me golf this year.
That's right.
We'll preview the weekend matchups. We're gonna have a system in place again, like the old days. It's gonna be so much fun to know we got real. This is a somber moment. Maybe that was like forecasting here. It was foreshadowing that we should change the tone of this episode. Is we do a lot of work, Ryan, a lot of coverage on fantasy baseball, either written, podcasting, whatever. People know certain guys we like Dr. Roto knows you like Aaron Civale. That's given. Everybody knows I like a certain first baseman that wears number 17. Pinstripes once in a while, City of Brotherly Love. He's from Northern California, my backyard. He's a really, really great guy. Great nickname, Reese's Pieces. But the fact everybody knows that, I was busy today and something took place on a diamond in a meaningless baseball game. And I had notifications on every form of notifications possible. Discords, Twitter, text messages, the works. And all it said was Reese's and I had like crying emojis and exclamation marks. So I searched Twitter because that's what you do when you're looking for news. And I wish I didn't because everything was not good. And Reese's Pieces is out for the season, Ryan, with a torn ACL. Hashtag this sucks. Pour one out for the homies. What's your thoughts here? Because there's a lot of different ways the Phillies could approach this.
I was one of your texts. Yes. And it was, I think I just said, torn ACL, RIP.
Yep.
And for the viewers of the podcast, I got your response to me, and I screenshotted it on my phone. And we are a family friendly podcast, so I'll only display it to the video. It's a little blurry. I think you can see what it is.
I can make it out. There it's four letters.
There we go. It was a profane word. It was in all caps. And I'm glad you've somewhat recovered. I know you're probably putting out a front and you're doing the show on fumes, but I'm glad you decided to come through. No, it sucks, man. I saw the play. Like, you just kind of knew immediately something was really bad. The EMT was out there. They carted him. And I guess there was some hope that he was, like, walking around. Hoskins was shortly after the game, but then that was squashed quickly. So he's done. It's brutal. You absolutely hate to see it.
Yeah, no, it's one of those people are like sending me the updates. Hey, he's walking around. I'm like, hey, I nearly tore my ACL. I just severely damaged it. I tried to go back in the game when I did it. Like, you have adrenaline. You can walk. Like, people walk on torn ACLs and kind of hobble around. You can bend it. It's harder to straighten it type situation. So I kept saying, it's great. It's cool. Let's be optimistic, but let's see what the imaging says. And that took place shortly after. And what we thought took place, because anytime you see a non-contact injury, like, we watch enough football and other things, it's never good.
It was Gavin Lux, like, you just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Not good. Not good. So, yeah, it's over for Reese for 2022-23. See, that's how scatterbrained I am right now. It's a sad, sad moment. But we'll get him back in 2024. But the Phillies must move on. We must move on. And technically, this could be also a part of our Fab discussion later, because he will be a very big part of it, because he'll be getting dropped everywhere, people. So keep that in mind. But the Phillies have options. Like, Derek Hall was supposed to be the DH till Bryce Harper came back. He can play first base. They can move Alec Baum to first base, and they do have Josh Harrison. Love him or hate him, he can play third base. Bryson Stott can move over to third. Scott Kingery, remember that name? He could play third base or shortstop or somewhere and move pieces around. They have lots of angles to go here. I think the one I'm most excited about is potentially Derek Hall having a full season, because it was pretty much like written in sand that, hey, he's going to DH when Harper's back, probably go back to AAA unless there's room for him somewhere. It looks like he could be the guy for the rest of the season, and that's a whole lot of power to play a full season at first base. So that's the guy I'm interested in. But like I said, the Phillies do have a lot of angles they could play this, and Luke Voit could leave the Brewers shortly. Yuli Gurriel could leave the Marlins shortly. They're on minor league deals, and they have opt-outs if, like, certain things don't play out. So those are parts of this situation as well. So how do you approach this if, say, you were a Reese owner, or you have drafts coming up, and maybe someone now looks a little nicer for you?
I don't see the Phillies. I think Derek Hall, kind of, at least in a platoon situation, is just, I think that's what they do. I can't see them going like Josh Harrison or Kingery. I just cannot see that route from a team that is contending this year with an owner that is willing to spend to make them contend this year. So yeah, maybe they do like go a Luke Voit route if he's available at some point. But I think for now it's Derek Hall. A couple caveats, because I think Derek Hall is going to be a pretty interesting Fab guy and draft guy.
Still wasn't drafted very high today in the main, surprisingly enough.
Where was he going?
335, as high as 303. Yeah. Hoskins at 295.
It makes sense because there is the platoon thing. Derek Hall, I don't think, is going to play against left-handed pitching. The power is legit. The batting average is, you know, we'll see. HQ, we're projecting 232 batting average. But the other thing with Derek Hall, and especially this is for folks that have already drafted Reese Hoskins, if you're looking for a replacement, Derek Hall is UT only.
Yep.
Derek Hall played 31 games at DH last year and only 7 at first base. So Derek Hall won't be, like, if you're looking for a first base or even a corner replacement, I mean, look at your league settings. Even in 10 game leagues, Derek Hall is not Yahoo, eligible.
You're good to go.
Yahoo might be the only one. I don't know. I think they're 5.
I think they're 5. So Hall's got you there. He's got you first base there.
So, like, I do like Derek Hall. However, just know, like, it needs to be. I think he's more of a streamer in right hand pitching heavy weeks, and you're gonna have to wait at least a week or two until he actually gets first base eligibility. So I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't like open up the Fab wallet for Derek Hall.
The one thing I'll say, and this is to try to make me feel better about life, with Reese going down, it makes our love for Rowdy Tellez even stronger. So I'm going to say that, right? He just moves up even more in my fantasy baseball heart and brain. So
there is the, like, I mean, when we're seeing this, I'm sure we'll talk about closers at some point, 'cause that's the big thing with this week, but like, it's supply and demand. We have two elite closers that are not, one of them's off the board, Iglesias maybe, but what does that do to the rest of that kind of crew, that cohort that's going around them? What will happen with in Hoskins' case, it's like Rizzo, it's Miranda, it's Rowdy. Do those guys start to get pushed up a little bit just because there's one less body in that group to fall back on at first?
Yeah, and on Thursday's two main event drafts, Rowdy is now the 11th first baseman off the board, where he's usually been more like 15th, 16th. So,
hey, main eventers are smart, man.
Yep, they got the big jump. He got the big jump because it's still Miguel Vargas, Andrew Vaughn, Miranda, Rizzo, Crone, Bell still down there. So Rowdy got the jump. He was the dude that got the love on that one. There'll be more to come with that probably next week for you guys when we get a little better feeling on the Philadelphia situation. But I want to go back to Houston. I know we kind of hit on it last week with Jose Altuve. We kind of had an idea, you know, broken hand, yada, yada, yada. He finally had the surgery yesterday on Wednesday, I believe. And they officially said he won't even resume baseball activities for 8 weeks. So that made me think, you know, it's the old Jason Collette saying, take the end game and like add a couple weeks. So this might be like a 3 week deal or 3 month. I mean, 3 month deal for Jose Altuve. Well, all things considered, we'll see. Thank God he's not a pitcher. But what I wanted to ask you about is David Hensley might be the name that enters the chat for second base. And again, similar to Derek Hall, Hensley's UT only right now, which is a bummer. He will be the second baseman. It looks like all things are pointing to him being the starting second baseman. And if you're the starting second baseman for the Houston Astros for 2 to 3 months, that could be big. That could be nice. And that means he'll also gain eligibility in like a week and a half or so. So do you have any interest on Hensley now, who main eventers don't? He's still drafted in like the 400s, but he could be the dude.
That is wild. He said, because wow, that's funny. I could go on this diatribe about Derek Hall. I did not realize David Hensley was UT eligible and UT only. And you know how he is? He has 6 games at DH and 5 at second base. That is,
oh, if he would have had these flipped around, he'd be
one
second
more
base.
Game. Yeah, one more game at second. I don't know how they would handle ties, but like one more game at second base and David Hensley is there. I like David Hensley, man. I really do. I looked at him in prepping for the show, and I mean, first off, the lineup's great, but this is a guy who, I mean, he's a little bit old for the levels as he's risen up through the minors, but Hensley's played a full season at AA in 2021, played a full season at AAA in 2022, got a cup of coffee, 34 plate appearances with Houston last season. Throughout that kind of steady ascent, the K rate's been pretty good. The stolen bases have been pretty good, and like double digit homers. So this is a guy who a lot of projection systems, Hensley, the batting average is really low for Hensley, like 240 folks are projecting, but Hensley hit over 290 in AA and AAA, and then hit 345 in those 34 plate appearances in the bigs last year. So for as cheap as David Hensley is going in that lineup, if they run, I like him as a late stab at second base. Again, just knowing you're probably only going to get that third of a season out of him, but who knows, man? I mean, just pick him up and worry about that later. I really like David Hensley as a cheap ad.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Like I said, ADP of 418. He's taken in both leagues. So he's an in-game move. Like that's almost undrafted, basically. It is undrafted in an OC, so yeah. Keep that in mind, but I'd even be willing to take him in OC, like you said, and stash him for a week and a half. And then, he has to be drafted to be eligible for FAB. So I was going to say, or FAB him the first, like after next Thursday's weekend. So it's the second FAB week. Get him then, and then he'll get second base. But if he's not drafted, it won't matter because that's the NFBC policy. But yeah, he's definitely a guy I'd like.
What do you think about Altuve dropped to in Thursday's main events, dropped to 226, right behind Jeff McNeil, Whit Merrifield, right before like Josh Rojas, Brandon Drury at second base? Does that feel about right to you, knowing you're going to have to hold in a non-IL league for a third of the season?
Yeah, he's essentially like off my board for those reasons. I'll mention I updated my rankings yesterday for the GT, the Gaining the Edge guys, and I have Altuve. I still have him 14th at second base, but I'm not loving it, I'll be honest. It's just, you know, it's ahead of Colton Wong, Brandon Lau, Isak, Donovan, Drury. So it's slightly ahead of where he's going in the mains, yeah. But kind of the same way. But
I think in like an IL league that makes sense because he's not
IL league for right sure. But like so. In my,
well, OC, it's hard to do rankings.
Yeah, 100%. In my OC, he on Wednesday. He fell to, it feels like around 220-ish. I'd have to go back and check. But he fell a lot, and I just was not clicking him. Question I got for you, just for fun. Let's have fun with this. Second base. Guy starting the year on the IL. Would you rather go Altuve or Polanco?
I'd rather go, like, neither, but Altuve.
Okay, I just asked because Polanco should only be out maybe 3 weeks, per se.
Yeah, so I do. The Polanco thing just scares me because kind of on the DL, his knee was messed up
last year.
Like, has been messed up for a while. And I don't know if it's just a 3 week thing with Polanco. Yes, that's like what they're saying, but that worries me.
Fell a long way in my OC, almost to the point where I was like, I'm on like my third bench, dude. I'm like, maybe I'll take the chance and roster him for a week or two and see what's up in case news doesn't change or whatever. But I think Brent took him actually a couple picks before I was going to do it. I'm like, okay, you get to deal with it. Not me.
Brent, I think, and I know Brent listens to most episodes. Brent, I take back what I said. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's a joke that I made with the On the Wire guys. It's like when you have that conundrum coming up in your draft, when someone else makes the decision for you, sometimes it's so much nicer. So,
yeah. Funny, Polanco, and I know we're jumping around a little bit. Polanco is on our rundown because he's
just I was going to skip to the IL,
but
who do you have?
Nick Gordon's going like a round or two after Jorge Polanco, and give me. I know I'm a huge Nick Gordon fan.
I'll take Nick Gordon all day long.
Yeah, especially because there's news that Byron Buxton. This isn't really news. The Twins just announced Byron Buxton is pretty much going to be full time DH to start the season as they try and kind of bubble wrap that looming disaster. So, like, again, this is just with Nick Gordon and a lot of these utility guys with multiple paths to playing time, Gordon infield, outfield specifically, like, this stuff tends to open up over time. And so straight up, like, I would take Nick Gordon over definitely Polanco, probably Altuve, just because I know he's going to play right away.
I'd take him over both for sure. Maybe I have to go readjust my rankings just talking about it, but yeah, we both liked Gordon to begin with. It was just kind of like, hey, where's he going to play? And now Kirilov, sorry, on the IL. Polanco's on the IL. You mentioned the Buxton situation. It's like we kind of said all draft season. I know other people say it too. It's not just us. And it's the old HQ. Trust skills, not role. Like, if he's that talented, the role will come. And the roles come in spades or diamonds, whatever you want to call it, whatever card game you're playing. Because, like, he'll play second base now. Like, if somehow Polanco comes back healthy, he's got a spot in the outfield. Kirilov isn't 100% healthy either. Or not Kirilov, Kepler is not 100% healthy either. He's been battling some stuff. So there's a lot of spots for Gordon to find playing time, just like he did last year. Once he got up, he played almost every day, even against lefties. So talent will win out, and it's going to win out, it looks like, with Nick Gordon. Now he's got to get him out of the ninth spot in the order. That would be nice.
That's the next step. Hey, baby steps. You know,
sorry. Let's take a step back. The risks, I'm still tilted. So, you know, baby steps are not an option right now. What are you doing with this Juan Soto oblique situation?
Selfishly, like, I mean, on our early season fade episode or early round fade episode, like, Soto was my pick. So selfishly, like, I'm not taking him anyway. So I just kind of hope other people grab him. It sounds like it's mild. So if I am a Soto fan, I probably would buy that discount. I think Soto is dropping to like the 20th overall pick in main events today. So that would, or 17th, but still, he's out of the first round. If I believe in Juan Soto before, I would buy that dip. It doesn't sound like, and this isn't just the team being super rosy. Soto did go in for an MRI, and the MRI revealed a minimal strain. So it's not just like they're talking. There was actual imaging done, and doesn't sound horrible. So
I hate oblique so much, though. Those injuries linger. And he was already kind of like, we've talked, like you said, in the fades episode, we were talking about our concerns already. It looks like he'll be okay. It could be like you said, it's a spring deal. Any little boo-boo with a star, they're going to take, just like, okay, just go sit down. Like, you're good. Don't worry about it. My question for you, you talked about his dip. Off the air, we're talking about Yordan Alvarez's dip. He made his debut on Thursday, made some loud contact. Would you take Soto at 18 or Alvarez at 22? And I think I know the answer just based on your fades, but how do you approach that?
Yeah, I'd take Alvarez pretty quickly. Dude can literally roll out of bed and hit, and I think that's what he did today. Like, he did go over three, but the contact was pretty strong, and I think my man will be fine.
Yep, I think he'll be good. A little more fun here. Everybody kind of was wondering what to do potentially with Gabriel Moreno. It was like, hey, we know he's talented. Where will he play? They love Carson Kelly's defense. Moreno can hit. Will they kind of be like, you know, sometimes he'll DH, sometimes he'll catch, maybe play 50-50. Well, that got made a little easier. Carson Kelly has a fracture in his arm. He's going to miss a substantial amount of time. It was not just like a little hairline. It was a pretty good fracture, it sounds like. So it's Gabriel Moreno time until otherwise notified. The interesting thing for me, per se, his ADP was still 187 in the two main events on Thursday, which I thought he might have moved up a little more. That is good for catcher 13, right? He moved basically ahead of Danny Jansen and Kyber Ruiz, still behind Raleigh, Kirk, Stevenson. So maybe that's close to about right. How are you approaching Moreno now? Because I still kind of like him a little higher, I think.
I don't. So we differ on this one. You are, I've been just listening to your other pods. I know you're higher on Moreno than I am. I just don't trust the power like at all for Gabriel Moreno. I mean, Gabriel Moreno hit in 267 plate appearances in AAA last year. Sorry, 267. Can't read tonight. 267 plate appearances. Yes, he hit 315. Yes, a 17% K rate. Like, I'll give you the batting average. Gabriel Moreno hit 3 home runs in 267 plate appearances last year. 73 of plate appearances in the majors last year, hit 1 home run with a 3% barrel rate. Like, that is pretty bad. So, like, I think you're getting an empty batting average, which is fine. But, like, I would take – he's like – I think he's like Kybert Ruiz, except Kybert Ruiz has actually done it in the majors. So, wow, did that actually just happen? Moreno feels like Kybert Ruiz. Is that Kerland in the chat?
Yes, Kerland, okay. Kerland stalking us, yes.
Same page for sure then. I think that's a good comp, except with Moreno, he hasn't had to make that adjustment to major league pitching yet. So I think there's actually a lower floor with Moreno than there is to Ruiz.
Yeah, no, it's fair. I think there's still more power to come. It's like the old, we said it with Kirk and some other guys. Like, I think Kyber Ruiz still has more power, honestly. Like, and a lot of the things you said, like, I wrote up Kyber the other day, and the quality of contact metrics sucked. Like, everything you said, you can almost put straight in the Kyber column. Like, I get it. There is a striking similarity between the two. I just feel there's more with Moreno. It's just a feel thing. It's horrible analysis. I get it.
No, I mean, there's something to be said for prospect pedigree and guys who are, how old's Moreno? Like 22, 23.
He's super young.
Like, yes, there probably is at some point another step there. I just typically, the way I play, I don't build that into what I'm thinking. That's so fair. So yes, like a lower floor, but I will concede that there's a higher ceiling. For the same reason, you know, compared to Kyber Ruiz, we also know what he can't do against major league pitching. So
this is very, very true. You hinted earlier about the relief pitcher landscape. Last week it was Edwin Diaz, the top-ranked closer for many, if not the second closer for many. Well, now you have like the sixth or seventh closer for many, and Raisel Iglesias, who's going to start the season on the IL with shoulder inflammation. I never like hearing anything involving the shoulder. They're speculating that it's not super serious, but again, I hate anything that involves the shoulder when it comes to a pitcher. On Wednesday's draft, he dropped to an ADP of 80. He's going right ahead of Clay Holmes now. So he's like the 11th closer out the board. Not a massive drop by any means. But a couple other guys went a little higher that might fill in for him. So how are you approaching this when it comes to the Atlanta Braves situation? And how would you deal with Raisel Iglesias come draft day?
It is tough because we do not have – I don't think we have the full picture of what's going on. I mean, it sounds like, yes, the team is hoping it's minimal. Like the ILC is minimal. Aren't we all?
Yep.
It sounds like Iglesias hurt himself, like, not even in a game, just kind of warming up, throwing. And they're not really sure. Like, they're just – he's not throwing for a week. And so you just kind of hope this time next week he starts throwing again and you're fine. I don't know. Like the ADP of around 80 around Clay Holmes feels about right. I think I would take Holmes if I was in the draft room and had to make that choice. But again, there is a chance that truly this is minor and Iglesias is, you know, you're getting him at a 40 pick discount for missing a week. But I don't know. It just scares me, especially because it's a shoulder. Like shoulders and pitchers, that's like you and obliques with hitters and everyone. Shoulders just scare the crap out of me.
I thought you were almost talking about my oblique. I'm like, I can't find my oblique if I had to like really get there right now. So I was like, I appreciate it. That's kind of you, but I wasn't quite sure how that was going to happen. It's tough because I love Iglesias. I'm a big fan. Somehow I don't have a lot of shares. Thank God. I have a few. We talked about that off the air earlier, but it stinks because he's a dude I like, but honestly, if I'm drafting until I hear more information, I just don't think I can take him right now.
Yeah, it's scary, man, because like Iglesias, I'm going to pull up his innings pitched over the last few years. Like, I feel like he's been one of the most consistent. It's
like 55 to 65, give or take. For like, he's just locked in strikeouts.
62 innings.
Yeah.
Well, this is crazy. So since, you know, listing a bunch of numbers, but innings pitch totals since 2016, I'm going to leave out the COVID year. 78, 76, 72, 67, 70, 62. And then like all of a sudden this out of the blue, like that's wild.
If you look at like his strikeout rates, his save numbers, like his ratios were kind of wonky from time to time in Cincinnati, but he was just a model of consistency. That's why I loved him every year. The Reds would even use him in high leverage spots for multiple innings. He was that good. He comes over to Atlanta, even as a setup man, was almost better than he was as the closer in Anaheim. The dude's just filthy. He's got really good stuff. So it's a bummer in a big way to see this take place. Flip side, a lot of, you know, doctors and experts on Twitter were like, okay, he'll be out for a bit, so let's go talk about their backups. That's what we do on these shows. AJ Minter seems like the main dude. That seems like the guy who's had his chances before. Joe Jimenez is there. He's got closing history. He's kind of banged up, though. Kirby Yates, if that rings a bell for anybody. He's on the team. I'm throwing options out, Ryan. I'm not saying run. If I got to pick one, it's AJ Minter. That's where I'm looking to go. He had an ADP on Thursday of 304. He went as high as 262 in one draft. So that's kind of looks like where they might be leaning. But how would you approach Atlanta's situation for the time being?
Yeah, that like cheap draft price makes sense to me. I'm not going overboard. A, because I don't know if we even know who the guy is. Like Minter, we think, but we don't know. Do they just use him in leverage against lefties, or do they name a ninth? You know, is he actually the closer? And then B, like I was just saying, Iglesias could just be out for like a week. And so I would not go overboard at all on this situation. In Fab this weekend, like I'm putting in very tepid bids on Minter, and probably not even on Jimenez, just because I don't know.
Oh no, it's Minter only for me. I'm not doing the Jimenez thing. I played that game too many times. It's scary, very scary. So I'm gonna pass on that one. Last bit of news I have here, and thank God, because it felt like the injuries were not going to stop anytime soon, and maybe there was some I missed, and there might be more on Friday, but for now this is it. Adam Wainwright. Didn't know how this happened. Maybe he was enjoying the Miami nightlife after the finale. I don't know. Like, there's a lot going on down there. Got a groin injury. Out of nowhere, kind of. It's a weird one to me. So he's going to start the season on the IL. I don't think he's going to miss too much time, it seems like. And again, he's kind of an in-game filler, innings eater, late in draft, so it might not even be a big deal to many of you. I just mentioned it because you could probably pick him up on the waiver wire at some point in time, or you could draft him, just maybe wait till the end. And Jake Woodford is going to be taking his spot, who has pretty much been a bullpen guy in the bigs with St. Louis, but has had no strikeouts. That's the best way I can put it. It's a lot of pitch to contact and pray type stuff with Woodford. So any interest there?
Yeah, Woodford belongs on reserve.
My God, it's beautiful. I was thinking it in my brain, and you brought it to life. I appreciate you.
That's an old one I've used, because Woodford's been around. He's been up and down around for a while, and just no K's, no nothing. The other thing, and I mean, this will kind of lead into like our schedule talk, but St. Louis is one of the few teams with two off days. They're off on Friday and then off next Thursday. So if this really is, and it sounds minor with Wainwright, like I don't even know if they will use Woodford in a starting role. So I guess, I don't know. I still think like losing Wainwright on your fantasy team is addition by subtraction. But if you did draft Wainwright and you believe in Wainwright, I would hold on to him. It doesn't sound that serious. I think it was like a Musgrove. I think it was like a workout related injury, which further fuels your theory, Bubba. Just don't work out.
Especially when you're Wainwright. You're like 40 something years old. You're literally on your swan song. What are we doing right now, dude? Like, especially the groin. What are we doing out there? I'm curious. Like, just keep the arm fresh. Be able to throw six or seven. Let's call it good, big man. Like, let's do that.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
It's Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get up to a $25 gift card after rebate with the purchase of select Superstart batteries. Our professional parts people will test your old battery for free and recommend the right battery for your vehicle. For power, performance, and reliability, choose Superstart batteries only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, let's talk about that early schedule to see what we got coming up here. And there's some very good and some, you know, just mixed bags, I guess is the best way to put it. But you broke down hitters, you broke down pitchers. I'll let you have the floor on this as I'm scanning through it because there are some nice ones, some really nice matchups. What are some of the scenarios maybe is, and the reason we're doing this, people, is I'll spell it out a little simpler. If you're in your draft and maybe you're looking for some in-game plays, like, hey, let's take a chance on some pitchers late. Or like Ryan said, hey, there's a lot of off days for this team. Maybe go grab like their eighth inning guy to like throw in there, get a couple innings out of, or little things like that. Here's a way to stream some bats against some great matchups. Little things like that for in. These are more in-game plays, I'd say, than probably your main roster plays. So Ryan, how are you, anything standing out on the hitting side of things for you?
Yeah, and I mean, just to kind of build on that a little bit too, is like, and I mean, so your end game picks, you can start picking for the schedule, but also like in Fab, I mean, we are kind of flipping to in season mode, so it is important to look at, especially when you're setting that first like lineup, and this happens every year because opening day is Thursday, is like a lot of your starting pitchers, if they are a fourth or fifth starter, they are not going to pitch this first weekly lineup period, this first weekend, and might be a two-start pitcher following week. So this is pretty popular, is people like to kind of grab a middle reliever for these or two for these first, four games, Thursday through Sunday. And that makes sense to me. Just don't go overboard with it. Like, you don't want to cut one of your like mid rotation starters just to get some, a middle relief inning. What I would recommend is look at the teams with four games. If you're looking at, obviously for hitters, because at-bats are king, especially in deeper leagues. But if you're targeting middle relievers, there are teams that play all four. So every team plays opening day, which is awesome. Like last year it was, the schedule was messed up anyway, but like not a lot of teams played on opening day. A lot of teams are off Friday, but everyone
plays. Yeah, look at that. That's kind of a big bummer, to be serious about this.
Yeah. Yeah. White Sox. So the teams that play all four, White Sox, Cleveland, Houston, Seattle, Mets, D-backs, and Rockies. And so if you're looking at like James Karinchak, I think is a great pickup either for a buck in Fab or on your 30th round pick. Cleveland plays four games. And so like maybe Class A pitches two of those in a row and Karinchak comes up for a save or whatever. Same with like some unsettled bullpens. Miami, is it going to be Floro, Puck? Maybe take a shot if one of those two guys are available. Arizona, we have no idea. It could be our boy, the ghost of McGuff. Or whoever. Maybe take a stab at Ginkle, Mantiply. in the Arizona bullpen. I know they get four at LA, but those teams that get four games this weekend, I think those are the guy, or next weekend, those are the teams, if you're going to kind of stream middle relievers, if you have a couple spots where you know your starters aren't going to pitch until the following week, I target those four gamer teams.
And I will say, like, everyone's trying to guess the Dodger situation, and it's supposed to kind of be a platoon overall, Roberts has said. He actually said he sees it being more of a Hudson Gratterall thing, which is good to see. Yep. They play, like you said, they got the four against Arizona. That's a great spot, too, just to be honest, like, just to feel it out. And then maybe you get a bad feel, and you Saturday night, you drop one of them and go the other direction or something. I don't know. But it's a good one to gamble on at that point in time. Yeah, other than that, like San Diego, we kind of have a good idea of what they're doing. Miami is a really good one, as you mentioned. Even the Mets, like, what are they doing? Because Diaz is gone. Do we got Robertson? Do mm-hmm. we go with Ottavino? Like, how does that one play out against Miami? They should get a safe situation or two there. And then the one other guy, because you mentioned Karinchak, I'll just throw it out there. With Houston playing the White Sox, it's a great time for, like, Rafael Montero or something like yep. that.
Brian
Abreu. Those are some good ones. Like, literally your last round, you could probably grab those dudes and yep. just especially keep them for the weekend and drop them. That's yeah. an easy one.
And Presley, so. Ryan Presley, as much as he is my boy. I don't see them push. Presley has had injury problems the past years. I don't see them pushing Presley super hard. So yeah, maybe you get like a rogue save out of Montero. I know we're super like focusing on, you know, this first half weekend, but the larger point here is, again, try and eke out everything you can over 26, 27, whatever scoring periods. This stuff does add up over time. So it's also interesting, like, you want to target, and I'm just, when I was kind of going through and marking, you know, good matchups, bad matchups, there's a lot of teams similar to last year that are just awful and that you can stream against. There's the Nationals, there's Oakland, there's Pittsburgh, there's Detroit, there's Colorado when they're on the road, you know, going against those guys. Like, there's a lot of just really bad teams that's going to make streaming, I don't want to say easier, but you kind of pick your spots pretty well based on the schedule this year.
And I will say, is I don't know how easy or hard it will be, but maybe next episode when we do our first weekend preview, we can kind of look at weather, because usually the reason that a lot of the guys have off days is because of weather concerns. So, like, you look at the Tampa Bay team that gets Washington and Oakland, but Washington early April can be nasty. That's like, that can be a postponement. Now all of a sudden you got like four games that week or something.
Yeah, I'm looking. So, it's usually like the Central Division. There's just like,
yeah,
like the Cubs are snowed out, or since Pittsburgh goes to Cincinnati. At the Rangers.
Toronto's got four. I mean, at the Royals. Toronto plays four in Kansas City. Yeah. That just screams of, yep, we got a snow out coming. Which, because I was going to say, is, you know, you could even look farther ahead besides just the weekend matchups. Like, Toronto plays seven games in the first full week of the season. Kansas City plays seven games. Atlanta plays seven games. You got, Atlanta and blah blah blah. Where did I just see? I just went right through. Where I
was Nationals.
Going. Nationals play.
Nationals get seven and four at Coors the following week. So like
those are things to look at too in the grand scheme of things. More so for bats potentially, but that also tells you, like, hey, if I can go get the third or fourth pitch, like fourth or fifth pitcher, even in a rotation, I can get a quick two step and then drop them. Yep. Like those like we talked about. I remember last year easily. Michael Walker with the
it was the Walker. It was.
And it paid off, and then dropped him. And then a couple more times we picked him up throughout the year for two steps and dropped him. You could easily look into that with some of these deeper teams like the Padres. I wouldn't go there because Musgrove will probably mess that up for y'all on the way back. Just want to kind of throw that one in there real quick. But there are options. Like, Atlanta's a good one if you want to take some chances deeper, like in the rotation. Kansas City, and it is Toronto, but then you get the Giants, and I'm not a big Giants guy, so, but it's Kansas City at the same time, so pick your poisons there. But yeah, you guys know what I'm trying to say there. There are going to be options for some two steps as well.
Yep, especially at the end of the rotation. So one thing I'm looking at, as you were saying that, Bubba, is it looks like, and we'll see once rotations start coming out, the Rays have like one of the easiest schedules of any team coming out. Oh, whoever is fourth and fifth in the Rays rotation, probably fourth because they got a couple off days. That next week, the Rays go at Washington, then at home against Oakland. So that's a two-step for possibly like Jeffrey Springs, Eflin, one of those types. Boston is another one that following week. Boston, they host Pittsburgh on Monday the 3rd, and Brian then they Bale. Go to Detroit.
Brian Bale.
So that could be your boy.
Yep.
With two softies early on. I don't know what the Red Sox rotation will end up like. It could be like Cutter Crawford.
I don't think they know. Yeah, Cutter Crawford's, they said he's making the rotation. So he's a good one too. That could be interesting. At least in those matchups, he's a good one. Let's put it that way.
That's what I mean. Just matchup specific is like if Cutter Crawford gets, and listen to me freaking bumping up Cutter Crawford before opening day, but like just an example. Looking ahead at those matchups, Pittsburgh and Detroit, like that's pretty sweet for Boston.
So yeah, we'll have more on that kind of stuff next week to get you ready for the following week, of course. But any other, like we'll flip it to the pitching side of things. We did talk pitching, hitting side of things. What stands out to you that you're looking to maybe target there? Because we're also still waiting for stuff to finalize in those regards, but there's some very juicy matchups as well.
There's some juicy ones. There's some tough ones too. Like I always look at Colorado. So Colorado, and I think I've mentioned this on previous pods, but Colorado is on the road until April 6th. Yeah. So like if you do draft late Rockies, just know maybe they struggle that for those first six games, especially because it's at San Diego and it's at LA. Like that's a brutal first couple series for Rockies bats. So just keep that in mind. Again, this shouldn't affect like ADP or anything, but just at the end of your drafts, if you have some marginal folks, the one I do like, Cincinnati, man, they get six at the small park to start the season versus Pittsburgh and versus the Cubs. And that's going to be the Cubs like back of the rotation. So look at those Reds early on.
That's a good one. Man, my Milwaukee stacks are going to struggle at Chicago, then home against the Mets, home against St. Louis. Those are some decent spots for pitching, especially if the weather's bad in Chicago. That could be rough. That stood out real quickly, staring at that. But, yeah,
the flip side of that is Cubs hitters face Milwaukee. So you're starting against Burns. You're starting against Woodruff. So.
But then they get the following week, they get to go to at Cincinnati, as you mentioned, and then they get home versus Texas, which might not be bad either, depending if DeGrom's DeGrom or not. So keep that, because he should pitch at least one of those games in Wrigley Field. So yeah, it's fun. Like I know we could probably just keep pinpointing stuff, but not everything's finalized yet. So that's kind of the tricky part between this, but it is fun. Kind of A, we get baseball in a week, so this actually starts to matter. And B, kind of seeing the layout of things and getting back into the mindset of, hey, how should we prepare ahead of time for things? Which, Ryan, I don't know about you, takes us into our first fab period, which helps us prepare for things. So this is where it gets fun, because I was kind of hoping first fab would be next week. But I guess it makes sense. If you drafted early, you might want to get some fresh guys for Thursday's game. I know Tout Wars in the past, we get to like Wednesday night, I think, or something like that to do our first run. Then it goes back to weekends. But in FPC, it's always weekend only. That's how it works. Saturday nights, you do your work, go Sunday evening, it goes off. And it means we got some fabs. So you got a couple, you got some hitters and some pitchers on some bloom boards, my friend. So how are we looking at the bloom boards this week?
There's a bloom board for everything.
Love it.
And so what I did with this bloom board is I was thinking like, how do I mimic what a typical early draft might look like? And really our target audience, obviously this, you can use this for in drafts towards the end of your weekend drafts. But like, if you did draft early, again, most leagues have that fab coming up this weekend. I think it was, I don't know. I looked at NFBC Gladiator, which if folks aren't familiar with that format, it was a 15 team. You draft your 23 guys and that's it. And so that's a pretty like good size league and probably equivalent. There's no bench. So equivalent to like a 12 team mixed league with a bench. And so I took those Gladiator leagues. Those all drafted in like November through January. So there might be a little difference, like if you drafted early March or drafted in February, but in general, whatever. I took the roster percentages of those guys in those leagues. So guys who were not really on radars outside the top. How many? What's 15 times 23? I should know this. 345. Not in the top 345 for the most part, early in draft season, that are now going earlier in drafts. And so what I did is I overlaid the Gladiator roster percentages, anyone under 40% and ordered that by their main event ADP. And so you could do like it rest of season projections, but as I kind of, I was half joking at the top of the show, these main event guys and gals are super smart. This is a good way to just in general, if you want to identify fab targets, look at the guys who were undrafted earlier in draft season that are now going the earliest in drafts in the main event. And so that's what I did. I broke it up by pitchers, hitters, and we've got a lot. There are a lot of definitely a few like top 200 folks that were not being taken in Gladiators. There are a lot of top 300 folks that were not being taken in Gladiators. And it's a pretty healthy list. I put this out on my Twitter account Thursday evening in advance of this show. So if anyone wants to check it out, you can do that. And we'll obviously talk through some names, Bubba, that stick out to you.
Yeah, no, I love this because there's some serious names that, and it makes sense. Like Ryan said, 345 or something were drafted in a 12 team that's 360. So that's why it correlates, as Ryan was saying, if you really look at it. And there's some very interesting names on this list. David Robertson makes sense, ADP 198. Surprisingly, in 32% of Gladiators, I don't think he was signed yet in Gladiators. Like, that's the crazy part. People are speculating. And then it would have sucked, and then an injury takes place, and now he's got a job. Like, talk about hitting the luck box in that whole scenario. So I don't think we have to really talk a ton about him. Alex Lang, similar scenario, like we know. But they're probably available in your leagues if you drafted early. That's kind of the point of this exercise. Like, don't sleep on these guys being there. Let's talk Clark Schmidt, though. This one is a big one for me. Because I've been going back and forth. I'm not the best with pitching. That's like always my thing. I try to improve on every season. But Schmidt's a guy we know the pedigree's there. And the talent's been there. He's shown some signs of good with the bigs, some struggles, as you'd expect from a young pitcher. He wasn't rostered at all in Gladiators. 0% in Gladiators. But he's got a main event ADP at 220. And he's going to be in that rotation. And I don't think it's a short time. Like, he's supposed to be filling in for Rodon. I'm worried about Severino, who looks garbage in spring. Mm-hmm. He looks rough. Domingo Herman's always kind of been like blah to me. Like, I think if Schmidt pitches well, like, why would you put Herman out? Like, that kind of scenario. So this could be a dude that could end up throwing a lot for you this year if it pans out. Plus, he's on the Yankees, which you know he's going to have chances for W's, which we talk about all the time. So how are you looking at this Clark Schmidt situation? Because 220 ADP is juicy. He's probably available in majority of Fab leagues if you drafted in February or before. At least mid-February or before. So this should, to me, is an important target. And I'll give you the floor here in a second. I know I'm talking a lot. But if you look at the New York Yankees, per se, this dude could get Philly at home, which is not great. But then again, they lost their best power hitter. So that's kind of tough. How do you look at the Clark Schmidt situation?
You have to bring Reese into every segment of the show. I like it.
Yep.
Schmidt's the top starting pitcher available in leagues that drafted early. And again, another reason to do this is just make sure guys don't fall through the cracks. Like, I think Clark Schmidt is, I don't want to say a must add, but he's got the skills, he's got the team, to echo a lot of what you just said. And I think he's going to have a role for as long as he pitches well. So, and this goes without saying, but if you fab Clark Schmidt now, you would have him for the whole season and his stats and that reward. So I would be pretty aggressive in Fab on Clark Schmidt. I know that's like easy to say, but I would probably think about maybe spending 8 to 10% of your Fab budget, something like that, on Clark Schmidt, especially, and every team's going to be different, but especially if you have an early injury, I think Clark Schmidt is worth going, you know, that 8% or something like that. If you need rotation help.
Yeah, 100% with you. Do you agree? Because you basically said about him, you do think he's the top starting pitching option out there.
Yeah, I mean, the other guys on this list, like Kyle Bradish, Mitch Keller, who, again, Mr. January, Mr. February. Dude, is.
I'm going to cut you off for 2 seconds. Mitch Keller, he gets at Cincy at Boston.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah, that's rough.
And I love Mitch this year. Big Mitch Keller fan. I don't even know if I could start him in those games.
I saw a tweet today or a stat today. I think there's 2 pitchers in spring with 20 Ks and 1 walk. It's Gerrit Cole and Mitch Keller, which pretty interesting.
Good company.
But yes, so Mitch Keller is someone 5% drafted in Gladiators. So probably somebody who is in your available if you draft it early. And same with someone who we talk about almost every show, David Peterson. That's kind of your top five. And I would rank them Schmidt, Peterson, Keller, Bradish. And who's the other guy?
That's the only one you mentioned.
Top four. All right. Yeah. Bradish last. That makes sense.
Yeah, you got Steven Matz here who, like, Nick Pollock is a big fan of Steven Matz. I've been hearing him talk about it a lot on his morning show. The talents, yeah, I get the talent. We've seen him be a great pitcher at times. We've seen him be a mediocre pitcher at times. I guess you're getting him for free, basically. So not the end of the world. Brandon Pfaadt, I think we can probably ignore that for now. He's back to the minors, so just keep that in mind. Kenta Maeda is struggling, but then I want to ask you about Matthew Boyd.
Yeah, he's back. Speaking of Nick Pollock.
The Boyd boys and Boyd gals. He was rostered in 1% of Gladiators. His ADP is 294. But the storylines, and again, they're just storylines in spring training, the velocity looks great. He's showing signs of being back to that guy we were starting to see before he got hurt. A lot can change, obviously, at spring training. But for a couple shekels, potentially, this could be a fun little ad. So what's your interest in Matthew Boyd?
Yeah, I think couple shekels is the big one. Like, you don't want to get too overexcited. Like, yes, the spring numbers are fantastic. 9 innings, 17 Ks, 0.67 whip. I don't know how long Matt Boyd is staying healthy this season. I don't think it's like a Clark Schmidt or even a Mitch Keller or even like a David Peterson, who I think sticks in the rotation. I don't think Matthew Boyd is – like, the chances of Boyd making it through the whole year pitching effectively, I think, are pretty small. That said, like, this is someone who in the past has shown the ability to rack up mega amounts of Ks if he could just rein in the home run issues. And so for that point, like, yes, I would, you know, if I had the room, I'd throw a couple bucks on Matt Boyd. I wouldn't do anything more than like 1-2% again, because of that, you know, there's a pretty good chance you're getting nothing here. But I think a couple bucks just to find out and maybe not miss out, I think makes sense on Matthew Boyd.
Yeah, 100%. Ronaldo Lopez, a guy we've talked about, we like more than Kendall Graveman. We hope he takes over that role eventually. He could also be a nice guy for these early week bullpen guys we talked about. He'd be a great one to target. So, because they're at Houston, good chance he gets a couple innings in there. Something to think about. Wanted to ask you about it, your boy Aaron Civale, though. You talked about these top pitchers available on the wire. Civale was drafted in 30% of Gladiators, so he's probably at least in half your leagues available on the waiver wire, I would imagine. How much are you spending on him? We know how much you love him.
Yeah, I'm a little offended. Savali only taken in 30%.
Wait, I'm willing to take a break from the podcast. Did you draft him in any of your Gladiators?
Yeah, so that's hilarious you say that, because I just went over to my tab. And here we go, man. Moment of truth. I'm typing it in. CIVALE. 1 out of 2 Gladiators.
That's fair. It's 50%. That's more than he's rostered.
Half of my Gladiators I have, Aaron. Man, that's you were putting me on the spot there.
Well, you make a comment like that, I got to.
Yeah, I got. Wow, my like little NFBC screen just lit up green when I typed in Civale in the little lineup search thing.
Nice.
Yeah, Aaron Civale, I would rank ahead of. I listed those starting pitchers earlier. I'd probably take Schmidt over Civale, but that's probably it. I think I'd take Civale over Peterson and Mitch Keller.
He's a beast. There's a lot of nice save specs. We like Ronaldo, but Graveman's still out there too, if you're feeling, because no one really drafted them because everyone was like, Hendricks, he's a dude. None of us knew he was going to get cancer. So that was just kind of a fluky, freaky thing. Trevor May's out there. He was unemployed at the time of most Gladiator drafts, so that changes things a bit. Scotty Magoo.
Magoo again.
Yep, Magoo shows up.
Which it is worth noting that the main event drafters have McGuff over. He's the highest drafted Arizona closer for what that is worth.
Yeah, it's definitely something.
Yeah.
And then AJ Puck's the last one, who I think most of us agree might not start the year as a closer, but a lot of smart minds are saying he's going to lead the team in saves. Let's put it that way. I've been always a firm believer Floro gets the early job so they can trade him. That's just been my whole thought process, and then it's Puck's world after that. Anybody else pitching-wise you want to mention? There's a couple other starters back here, but I think that's the main gist of what we were talking about.
Yeah, Jared Schuster, someone who I'm interested in. I think just Atlanta's track record of developing starting pitchers. We've seen the Kyle Wright breakout. We've seen the Spencer Strider breakout. I'm not saying Jared Schuster is that, but that is a pitcher who was completely undrafted in early drafts, completely undrafted in late drafts. I mean, this guy is really like the last 2 weeks, Schuster has shot up both Atlanta's radar and fantasy radar. So that is someone who I would I take a stab at this weekend as well.
Question for you, and I should probably know the answer to this, but since no games have been played yet, is Schuster and those guys available in the pools?
Depends on, yeah, it depends on the league. Like in an NFBC league, yeah. I don't think he would be available.
And everywhere he else,
in a major league game, yeah. that's a pretty like unique rule to the NFBC, yeah. though. I think like in your standard fan track CBS. Schuster, Yahoo. that type of pitcher, yep, Yahoo, he would be available in the
pool. I just wanted to bring that up because I was wondering that actually, because Schuster is very interesting, but and he's getting drafted now, like you mentioned, but a lot of those leagues might not be available, and he might not be available to the second fab period if you really do the thinking on that one.
Yeah,
so that makes it even deeper. Yep,
exactly.
So something else to keep in mind. All right, hitting side of things, you got Anthony Volpe, who I still don't think makes the starting roster, but we'll see how that goes. How do you feel on that? Is it Peraza or Volpe for you? It's the most commonly debated topic in all of Twitter.
Yeah, it is. I would go Peraza.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I just think I don't know, but I think the signs are there. Status on the 40-man, the lineup trends that we've been seeing, I think it's Peraza. Volpe, I mean...
Volpe's good.
200 ADP. That is like, well, main event drafters are very.
It makes me laugh because, like, Gladiator, Volpe 10%, Peraza 24. Main event ADP, Volpe 23, Peraza 309. It's 106 pick differential. And most people you talk to are like, yeah, it's Peraza's job. But when you see people putting over $1,700 on a team, taking Volpe 100 picks ahead of Peraza really makes me wonder on certain things.
I'm half joking with this comment, but more than I think roughly half of these main event leagues were drafted in New York City. So
that's fair.
Maybe
that's
there's fair. I know both those guys are on the Yankees, but maybe there's some hope with Volpe, who does have the higher ceiling, I will say.
Yes, 100%.
But I think there's an even better chance I just don't think he starts as shortstop.
Now there's a lot of guys I like on this list. Like obviously Big Willie's right here. He's rostering 22% of Gladiators. You guys all know how I feel on that. Oscar Colas is one I wanted to discuss again. Probably not available in NFC leagues, but available elsewhere. 28% of Gladiators, ADP at 258, and he's an interesting one. Great spring training, really good spring training. Even was decent last year when he had a little cup of coffee. Like nothing crazy. I know he didn't have it. That's still minor leagues. He's not on the 40 man. That's the conundrum I have with Oscar Colas.
Yeah.
I still think it's his job in the outfield. Everyone claims it is, but still not on the 40 man.
We did, and I do say we, Baseball HQ, we did bump Colas's playing time projection up to 75%. So we think there is a playing time analyst behind that, a human behind that, that's pushing those buttons. We do think he starts the season on the gig and could be early favorite for, I always like this kind of award. I don't know if it's an award for best fantasy player who did not get a baseball forecaster box. Colas was that far.
Ooh, that could be a
off
fun
the
one.
Radar. So we didn't write him up. HQ, we're projecting 250 batting average, 21 home runs, 2 steals in 422 at bats. So that'll play. There's just a little bit of like a pop-up vibe with Colas, so I don't know. I wouldn't go overboard here.
Yes. Shea Langeliers, our buddy Ben Ted mentioned this one. Only rostered in 3% of Gladiators, ADP at 285. He is util only. That's the conundrum. But he's going to be the guy that's taking Sean Murphy's role. We saw how the A's like their catchers to play a lot. And Langeliers had a great hit tool in the minors. It didn't really translate a ton last year in the bigs, but throughout his entire minor league career, the dude could hit. And so that's one of those things you're kind of waiting to see if it translates. He could be a fun one, especially if you kind of waited on catchers and you're like, you know what? I got this dude. Like, I have Rhys Hoskins and I have other first basemans I can put in there and I can upgrade my catcher two and just sit on Shea for like 2 weeks. It's an option. I'm just throwing it out there. Something to think about.
It is. I mean, I do think Langoliers at 3% in Gladiator is because you can't move people around. So like you drafted Langoliers as true. Utility and he is your utility in Gladiator. True. So like you that's can't true. Move him to catcher. So that's, I think that's why he's down at like 3%. I think in your more normal leagues, Langoliers is gone.
No, that's a very valid point. You know, I got Elvis Andrus got signed, Duvall. I like the TJ Friedel one, the Friedel. I always screw up which way it goes. To me, it's funny. He's always the kind of, it feels like he's the forgotten man because Jake Fraley, like, I think they're almost like identical players to me. That's the thing. A lot of similarities in the stat columns when all things are said and done. Fraley gets all the love, goes a lot higher. TJ, you know, ADP of 313. I love targeting. I think on my OC, I had both of them on my roster. I think he's a really good late outfield option personally. I think they should both play a ton. I think he's a guy, if you're looking for just a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, and you got Great American Small Park. We talked about those matchups to start the season.
Yep.
That's a dude I am looking at.
If you have an outfield, and it is Friedel. I did pull up the official MLB pronunciation guide.
Thank you, Steve Gardner.
Yep. Who shared that with us. It is Friedel, because I know I think we'll be saying his name quite a bit this year. I think that's a perfect outfield pickup if available. You mentioned Adam Duvall. That's someone who was not even drafted at all early because he didn't have a team. So Boston signs Adam Duvall with that power, that fly ball tilt in Boston over the Green Monster. I like that pickup quite a bit. If you, and again, you probably do with five or six outfielders, have an outfield injury you need to pick up for in Fab this weekend. Duvall going 298 and Friedel 313. So I think between those two, I'd go Friedel just because of the schedule and a lot of the reasons, Bubba, you just said, but both are fine.
What about your boy, Michael Massey?
Yeah, my man.
Gladiators, 337. And I'm going to be honest, I will take my L's when I need to. I like what I'm seeing in spring, the improvements he's made.
Too early for L's, man.
I'm cool with it. I completely just poo-pooed all over it when you mentioned it before. So I can at least admit that, hey, I like what I'm seeing improvement-wise, and I'm willing to – if you need a late MI or something, I don't mind him as much anymore.
You've got an Altuve injury. You have a Polanco injury. Yep. You need middle infield. Michael Massey's going to start. He is Kansas City second baseman. Yes, like, you know, there are reasons not to like Michael Massey, but, like, I think there's some power. There's some decent power speed there for someone who's going to play pretty much every day on a team that likes to run. So, Massey, I was glad to see on this list, 337 ADP. So again, don't go overboard. These are like late in drafts and main events, but if you're trying to fill those holes, I think Massey middle infield makes a ton of sense if you're banged up.
Yeah, these are filling holes or streaming for the first couple of weeks, like matchups. Like some guys that weren't signed when we did Gladiators, Brandon Belt. Like we talked about him plenty on this show for targets and whatnot. Enrique Hernandez, we talked about him plenty as well. Neither one of these guys really had a job or a situation at the time. And Enrique was injured. There's question marks all over the place with him. Andrew McCutchen, he's another one. And we all kind of have our love or our interest in these guys, I should say. So those are guys, I think, especially Enrique and McCutchen, I think they're more than just streamers personally. I think they're more, you can almost plug them in more often than not. They should be playing nearly every day. Plus Enrique will get shortstop eligibility, which is nice, shortstop outfield. So those are a couple other guys. I didn't know if you wanted to hit on anybody else. There's a lot of names. I will say Blake Sable at the bottom. I love him. He won't be available in the NFPC until the second week. There's a lot to like with that kid. So he's interesting. I just want to see how the Giants utilize him. Is he strictly the catcher too? Or will he DH and play the outfield more? If he plays regularly, the bat plays. And that's what I'm very intrigued with.
One other name that sticks out to me is a top 40 prospect, top 40 hitting prospect going, God, where's the dang board? Going 375, 1% roster. That's Brett Beatty. He has had a heck of a spring, not just with the bat, but defensively as well. And that is something where that matters, that those are spring stats that matter. If you can ascend to a level both offensively and defensively to get regular playing time, there's a legit 50-50 chance that Brett Beatty is the Mets' regular third baseman. And that's someone who completely off of early mid draft radars. Yes, in keeper leagues, he's probably gone. But in your early to mid redraft leagues, Brett Beatty if you need some third base help, or you just want to take a shot on a prospect that no one's really talking about. I think Brett Beatty's a fantastic dart throw for Fab, just to see what you got there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Good batting average skills, the power developed. He's only 23. My God. Yeah. A little bit of speed. And some of the rumblings are rumors. Nothing's set in stone, of course. He is going to be a starting third baseman over Escobar because the way he's playing, you mentioned the spring, Escobar is not. Escobar is a veteran that they can kind of just use as a utility guy if you need to. I think it's very, like, that's even one that's worth specking on, I think. If he maybe doesn't have the job right out the gate, I think if you can get him cheap for a spec, you have a spot to sit him at, I'm intrigued. It's a very interesting spot for Mr. Brett Beatty.
Yep.
All righty. Got a couple listener questions here for you before we head on out for our last episode before we have real baseball to talk about.
Not quite. We got a Monday one, but.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot all about that. So much
fun. We gotta promote that. We're putting Bubba on the hot seat after going through my labor. Going through my labor. That sounds
I was about to say
awful. going through my draft and labor and Tout Wars, live streaming that and watching me suffer. We're turning the tables. Monday night, 11:30 PM Eastern, Night Owl Draft, 8:30 our time. Bubba's doing a 12-team NFBC draft online championship, and I'm going to be the host. And, man, you're going to have to put up with me, the commenters, and the draft.
It's going to be great. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see what my KDS comes out for in that one. All right. Some listener questions here. Our buddy Joe G, 414, asks, thoughts on Trevor Larnach and James Outman in Roto. Outman is announced on the roster. Playing time is still suspect. We don't know how that's going to be. The quote Robert said is, I want him to get regular at-bats. So is that 3 games a week, 4 games a week, all the games of the week? We don't know yet. That's the conundrum. I love the hit tool with Outman. It's great. He should play. He's a better defender, too. That's up for debate. The Larnach thing is interesting with the Kirilloff injury and everything. He looks like he might actually have a starting gig too. He's kind of underachieved in the bigs, so I'm kind of concerned. But what's your thoughts on Larnach and Outman?
I mean, it kind of depends. If you're trying to fill a hole and get some playing time, I go Larnach. If you have space and just kind of want to speculate on someone with the ceiling, I think you go Outman. I share your concerns, Bubba, about LA's outfield. And yes, you can want to have Outman get regular at bats. There are, I mean, not the best bodies out there, but there are bodies out there in LA that I don't think Outman plays every day. I think there's a platoon situation going on there between himself, Trace Thompson, David Peralta. There's Chris Taylor, although he's having a really bad spring. There's just a lot of mouths to feed in the outfield there, and the DH is full time to JD Martinez, so there's no flexibility there. So.
Yeah, that's a downer. I like Outman a lot. Just, what's he going to do? Your buddy, Oregon Ducks 2, he has one. He says, I texted this to Ryan earlier today, but thoughts on 3 guys I haven't heard you discuss much. Thanks for listening, if you know that. Ketel Marte, Tim Anderson, and Josh Naylor. Okay, you don't listen, because Josh Naylor is, I'm in love with Josh Naylor. So that's not true. I'm just messing with you. It's a 7x7 auction league with slugging percentage and walks are the extra categories. Is this a league you're in by chance, Ryan?
It's the league I was in.
Yeah. I was about to say before we put you on the spot here. So then you know this better than any. Like,
former league mate, Scott.
We mentioned Tim Anderson last week a little bit in the mid-round picks. Naylor, I'm a huge dude on. Ketel, I have zero shares of. So what are your deeper thoughts on those three?
I mean, so it kind of... Yes, like I profess my allegiance to Tim Anderson. He was one of my mid-round targets last week. So, like, I mean, I think Tim Anderson is a, you know, I'll kind of repeat it, second, third-round talent going in, like, the seventh round. And this is an auction league. Like, your auction price on Tim Anderson, I think, is going to be fine. Maybe it is. Again, everything's league-specific. This is slugging percentage and has walks, so Tim Anderson doesn't pop quite as much. Maybe your boy Naylor is the better play there just because of the discipline and the slugging. So Ketel Marte, like, I don't know. I don't trust hitters whose best year was 2019. And like in Marte's case, Ketel Marte hit 32 home runs in 2019. That was the bouncy ball year, the happy fun ball year. That's why I say that. Ketel Marte has never hit more than 15 home runs in a season outside of 2019 when he hit 32. Ketel Marte hasn't stolen more than six bases in a season outside of the 10 he stole in 2019. The batting average, I think, rebounds to maybe like he's projected about 270-ish. But I think we're kind of dreaming on the idea of 2019 Ketel Marte, and I don't think that's coming back. So if I had to rank them, I'd probably go Anderson, Naylor, Ketel Marte in that order.
Yeah, we're close. I'd probably lean Naylor, but I will say in my OC on Wednesday, I took Tim Anderson in round 8, and I took Josh Naylor in round 19. So I got my two that I would go with in that draft, if that says anything. But
you took them both, though, so that does say a lot.
Yeah, in this format, I probably lean Naylor more so, but I like them both quite a bit. Zero Marte. Our buddy Corbin Young makes a statement because he loves Mitch Keller. He's a big Mitch Keller guy. Mitch Keller, tons of great names out there. Should be fun first Fab weekend. Yes, indeed, our friend. I mentioned Ben Tidd earlier. I mentioned the Langoliers at 3% of utility. Only player is pretty interesting. We hit on that. Little Book of Calm is coming at us with a couple questions. It's been great because he listened to us a lot last year to kind of learn about the NFBC. So now he's playing in his first 15-team Fab League this year. And for some reason, he's trusting us to do this. At least he's trusting me along with you. So you're the legs behind this one. First time doing weekly NFBC 15-team Fab, and I don't have any idea how much players cost. Hey, inside the ropes here, none of us do.
We don't even.
None of us do. You're going to learn real quick, especially like when I do my recap Fab shows with Toby and other people, and you just listen to anybody. Listen to the goats on Sunday nights on RotoWire. Erickson and Jenstead talk about it. Like, league to league is so different. 12 to 15 teams is so different. It's just no rhyme or reason. You kind of stick with what you want and just kind of, it sounds bad, cross your fingers, like just hope you're in the ballpark. Like, one thing I love to do, like some people share, I know Vlad Sedler, usually Sunday nights after Fab's done, if not Monday mornings, he puts out like a grid of all his teams, all his Fab moves, the amounts he paid, the league setup, the drops he made. And he's got like a handful of OCs, handful of mains, and his numbers are always different. And it's just, it's wild. So do your best, if is the best I could say. And we'll help you if you have questions, but that's my one thing. So his questions. Can you recommend a free intro to Fab resource? I'm trying to think of a free one. I know Vlad just put one out, but I don't know if it's free.
I don't think it is. We do have stuff on HQ too that is not. I don't know. That's a good question.
Not that I've noticed, to be honest.
Yeah. I would add, like, I know the question's free. I would say, especially if you're new, I think it is worth, especially new to NFBC, I think it is worth paying for an FTN subscription to get Vlad's weekly Fab article. I know a lot of people, and like your competitors are probably reading that. Don't use that as kind of the Bible. But it is a really good way to kind of just get a ballpark idea for certain bids you want to make. So I do think something like that is worth the cost if you want to go that route. If not, I'm sure there's a lot of good Fab stuff out there that's free. I just haven't come across any. I would definitely say Google's your friend there.
Yeah, Bloomfield writes a great Fab article for HQ.
I'm not gonna shill for that one, but yes, I do a Fab. We're starting that one in April, but
I'm just gonna name things. I do Fab. I did Fab last year. I'll do Fab again this year. I'm not the expert, but I just list names and give my thoughts on them. That's kind of what we're here to do. Yep. Vlad's the GOAT. That's just the easiest way to say it. Like, every major player, like Ryan mentioned, we look at Vlad's articles. Like almost everybody that is anybody looks at Vlad's article to kind of get an idea of what's going on.
I think another, and it's kind of, I think it was a follow-up question that Little Book of Calm was asking, and I think frames it even better. Like, he followed up to his own question about what we would generally spend for different types of guys.
What are some Fab strategies common in NFBC leagues? Do you prefer to spend big early and save the hammer for all-star breaks?
I don't. I do not. You will see when a reliever goes down and someone comes in, you will see triple-digit bids on folks speculating on closers like that. If there is a guy with skills in the role, you will see that for prospects as well, as they get called up throughout the year in the NFBC. I am almost always out on those guys. Just my style is I like to spend roughly, this is all just rule of thumb, $40 to $50 a week the first third of the year. Drop that to maybe $20 to $30 in the middle, and then your last is like $10 for your last third per week. That all kind of averages out. There's, you have $1,000 and you're, there's like 26 weeks. So that comes out to about $40 a week. And I like to front load that a little bit, but again, that's all. Some weeks you'll be like trying to make a move just to make a move. That's not really it either. Or some weeks you need to fill like three or four spots. So it all depends, but generally that's kind of what I like to do by thirds of the season.
And one thing I'll mention is obviously some weeks you can spend more than your allotted idea, and that can just change throughout the weeks. Other things would be, kind of depends on how necessary it is to make a move, because an injury took place, you need to fill a spot, so I have to get this guy type scenario. The one thing I will mention, I'm usually with Ryan where I don't spend big early on certain guys. I will say this much though, in learning and talking with people on my show, and the Guilds is one of them, and the Guilds is a very successful fantasy player. Obviously he won the OC overall last year. He's finished top five three straight seasons. So he knows a little bit of what he's doing. We've talked about this on my show because he will be aggressive early, big bids early. Yep. And what it comes down to is, because it's true, you can find discounts everywhere, but what it comes down to is how hard are you willing to work? That's what I'll say. Is like, if you want to go get the shiny new toy prospect, if you think this next closer is the legit dude, like say Robertson's on the market, you think he's going to close for the Mets for the rest of the season? He's probably worth a few $100. Like that's a good bid to get if he is what you think he is. It's ifs. So that's kind of what you have to do. You just have to be able to work extremely hard to find those $1 and $2, $5 players, whatever, a week early, 2 weeks early, stuff like that. So if you're willing to put the work in, then you can be aggressive. You can get away with it in a big way. I'm not saying we don't want to put the work in. Maybe sounded bad saying that. It's just, I think, speaking for myself, I'm more comfortable kind of living in that middle realm of just kind of like steadily building my team and strengthening it that way. So
lots of ways to do it. Like there was a,
there's no one way to do it. That's for sure.
That's the biggest takeaway. The main event winner last year, Bob Kramutola.
Oh, he's,
I forget the exact number of weeks. He ran out of fab multiple weeks before the end of this. He could not. I want to say
it was almost like 2 months or something.
I don't know if it was like that far. Maybe. I don't know. It was at least
4 or 5 weeks. It might have been.
It was an alarming amount of time that he ran out of fab money and still won the main event overall. So that kind of goes to what you were saying, Bubba, about really anything can work. So
the other part of a little book, and this might have been what you were referring to, he says, if possible, could you give some rough fab ranges for the following situations?
Yeah.
Short-term closer, like example, Rice Sales injury. Long-term closer, Edwin's injury. So I'll just go one by one. Short-term closer, I'm not spending more than, well, to start the season, $30-$40 if I know it's a short-term thing.
I was gonna say around 20.
Yeah, and we'll lose those bids because someone will spend a lot of money for AJ Minter. Like if that goes back to my, eventually Rysel's coming back now. If we get news before Saturday night that Rysel's out for like 4 months. Well, then AJ's worth probably like $150-$200 maybe, potentially. Like that changes things a bit. And it goes into his next question, long-term closer, like the Edwin Diaz situation. It kind of hinted at Robertson. You would see, and I could be wrong, Ryan, but if Robertson is the dude, if you think he is the dude, people will spend over half of their fab, maybe more, to go get David Robertson.
Rob, he will go, yes. I don't know about that much. I think you'll see like, I could be wrong,
bucks
but
for sure.
I think like $200 to $300 I think people will spend on David Robertson. I will say right now, I put in bids because I've started my fab today. I'm at around 70 in labor and in one of my NFBC leagues. I probably won't get him. I may push that up to like 10%, so 100. I think generally that's like so there's kind of two parts to this question. Is like what should I spend, or what would the market spend versus what would I myself spend? I would go more like 70-80. The market's probably going to go like 200 for a closer.
I think it goes higher.
You think it goes higher? You're probably right.
Before range, like people, especially say you had Diaz or you some situation where you waited on closers and you're kind of like not happy with that scenario now. you're gonna go for this dude, and that's where I see that happening.
We'll see, man. I love, like, when Fab hits and NFBC does it, like, within a minute, you get to see the results. It's crazy.
That's why I love doing the recap episodes, because you get to see the spectrum of, like, he goes for $1 in this league and he goes for like $500 in this league. It's like, what in the world is going on? But that's the breaks. Six starter now in the rotation. You know, we talked about Schmidt. We talked about Peterson earlier. I guess it also comes down to how long you think they're in the rotation for. So it's probably more the $20 to $40 range. And it's kind of a big range, but you know, Schmidt maybe deserves to go higher. Like you mentioned earlier, closer to the 100, maybe, if you're feeling it. So any thoughts on those guys?
I think I said like 8 to 10% for Schmidt. Yeah. It depends on the skills, and Schmidt and Peterson, the example, Little Book of Calm, Mansat, those are guys with the skills and how long you think they have a role. And in these cases, I think they will have roles. So I'm willing to go like up to 100 for that type of pitcher. If it's a six starter that doesn't have the skills, I'm not even touching. And maybe we'll get to that one at the end here. But yeah, so a lot of factors.
And then he mentioned like a streaming bat with two good weeks of matchups. So let's just think TJ Friedl coming up. Like that's a good weekend plus the start of the following week. Again, it's like it's just so hard because you and I don't like to break the bank where guys would want to. But a guy like Friedl, where I know I only want him for sure for like the next 7 to 10 days, it's hard for me to go more than like $25-$30, I think. Yep. I could be wrong, but that's where I'm at.
Agreed. I was going to say like 20. It does, like I will say, it adds up. If you go $30 to $40 on these guys instead of 20 to 30, it doesn't sound like much, but over 10 weeks, that's 10% of your budget. And you are going to be picking up these streaming guys every week. So yeah, I try to keep it around 20, maybe 30, depending on the stream.
And then his last one here is average streaming for a starting pitcher. That's the $1 million question, dude. That's like, what are the matchups? Are the matchups that juicy? How desperate are you? Honestly, what I try to do, Little Book of Calm, is I like to use the RotoWire schedule grid, and I usually bid on my two start guys a week earlier so you can get them for like $1 or $2. Yeah. That's what I do. I try to get a week ahead. The week of can get pure chaos in some leagues, like stupid money in some and no money in others. Like I know I'm not helping with your answer, but Ryan knows what I'm talking about. It can get. Two start pitchers is like a cocaine to some people. It's just wild.
And it often turns out that the bid amount that you should have placed on these two start pitchers is zero.
Yep.
A lot of these guys get torn up. So just be very careful streaming. Who was the guy in Oakland that I streamed a couple of times last year and just got? Oh.
Well, there's the Gomber.
I'm glad I forgot his name.
We all know about the Gomber.
You can get Gombered. You can.
It wasn't Cole Irvin. Was it Blackburn?
No, Blackburn was pretty good.
Caprillion?
Nope. It's going to bug me. I think I spent like $50 or $60, and it's just way too much. It's way too much for a back end streamer. I think you're back end.
When you know you're going to drop them, it's tough.
I would say like, again, depending, but like 20-30 range, even that might be a little too much. Because again, if they don't have the skills, those guys will absolutely burn you.
And again, that's why I like to go a week ahead, so I can be like $1 or $2. We're in, we're out. It is what it is. Let's move on, because it can sting in a big way. And it goes back to stuff we'll talk about. Sometimes the one start streamer in a better matchup is better than the two start streamer.
Yep.
Sometimes a good reliever is better than a two start streamer. There's a lot of scenarios where you can do that. And it leads to what I tried to demonstrate in my OC and I've been trying to do later in draft season. I'm being much more aggressive in not pocket aces, but getting a lot of good pitchers early. So my goal is to stream hitters, not pitchers this year as much as possible, because you can find hitters a lot easier than pitchers and not usually have to pay as much. So that's usually my goal, and I'm trying to stick with that. Obviously stuff happens, but that's my goal on draft day right now. We'll see how that pans out.
Zach Logue. I found him. Zach Logue. guy, man.
Yeah, I would have blocked that name out too if I was you.
Oh wow. I'm kind of disappointed in myself for having to remember him. I'm glad I did forget his name.
Good you almost God. Need to get a picture list to give you one of the scatter plot things and put it on the wall behind you of Zach Logue's two start week.
I can't do that.
Yeah, that's
we'll put
bad.
Him next to, he's in the Trevor Rogers Hall of Fame.
As when your kids get older, when they're on timeout, make them read Zach Logue's game logs. That's your punishment. Yeah,
that'll make him cry.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will wrap it up there in our final preseason episode. Well, outside of Monday's live stream, of course, our like regular scheduled programming of the Bubba and the Bloom podcast. So final thoughts, Ryan. It's been a long, fun. I'll say fun. People say it's been fun. It's helped me a ton prepping for my drafts preseason. But like I said at the beginning, we're about to go back to our regular scheduled program of news and Bloom boards and our games and matchups and stuff that gets everybody rocking and rolling for the week. So final thoughts.
Now just enjoy this last week. Like, this is what we prepare for. This is what we love to do. So it's finally here. Take it all in and enjoy it. I will say, if you don't have any kind of last minute drafts, start thinking about your in-season process, because once the season starts, it's a million miles a minute. You have a little bit of time right now in between drafts to just think about how you want to process, from either like which stats you're looking at, or even just like from your life, like which days of the week do I want to start doing this and that, identifying my drops, picking those guys up. Start thinking about that stuff now, because again, once the season starts, it's a sprint.
Yeah, and if you have a significant other, take them out on Saturday night. Yeah, yeah, might be the last Saturday night you get to for quite a while. So keep that in mind. This is a big weekend. Maybe spend some time with them and tell them, hey, I do care about you, but we might not be, you know, that close for the next few weeks, months. So keep that in mind as well. Just a little pro tip there. But yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Looking forward to it. For those that are in Vegas, good luck this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun for you all. For us that are stuck doing other things, let's crush those online drafts. Have some fun. Like Ryan mentioned, Monday night for you late night crowds. It was called the Night Owl Pot OC RotoWire Online Championship. It is at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific time. We'll be streaming it right here on the YouTube. It'll be out for recording as well. My OC, and the beautiful thing is, my Wednesday OC went quick. It was all, like hour 55. It was awesome. Wow. We were in, out, done. It was glorious. So it won't be a marathon. It won't be anything like that. So we'll have some fun with that. Ryan gets his turn to heckle me. Come join us in the chat. Heckle me away. Cut like jolly. You'll be back from Vegas. Bring it, kid. I know it's late for you. Bring it. So we'll have some fun. But until then, check out Ryan on the Twitter there at RyanBHQ. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I am at BDIntrick. This was Bubba the Bloom, episode 49. Catch you guys next time.
Way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100 and use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.